With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Luck and hope are not a strategy or a plan. We have to plan for what the reality is on that day, and we will. And I'm confident. I think we've done a really good job in terms of drafting the last couple of years at seven. There's always value. Can't talk about the kids, but we all know what's out there. And whoever gets lucky is going to be better off.
Middays on the Score.
Well, you said luck's not a plan, and then apparently it's the plan. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves have clinched their third straight Central Division title. Be there Saturday and Sunday for the final regular season game. Saturday is First Responder Night, presented by Turtle Wax. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Darnell Mayberry is on Twitter, at Darnell Mayberry. He's been covering the Bulls brilliantly for The Athletic Chicago, and he joins us now in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Darnell.
Hey guys, how you guys doing today?
Bad,
hanging in.
Bad.
They're extending Jim Boylan. What the hell, man?
Yeah. It's one of those things that doesn't really make a lot of sense to bring him back if you don't extend him. So I think it beats the alternative of having a lame duck coach. But at the same time, we've seen no evidence that. Without a shadow of a doubt, proves to us that he is the main guy for the best guy for the job, or the right guy for the job. So, it's a tricky situation that they're in. But they put themselves in this position by firing Fred Hoiberg on December 3rd. We can't forget that.
It seems it's just crazy that they have found their guy without a real coaching search as often as they have. It's almost impossible to find the right guy without doing a search the way every other NBA team does.
And I think the difference is these guys are so connected personally in the front office and ownership. I mean, the relationships go back years and years, and it's just really thick. And I think it's hard to comb through that. And people, they go with who they know, they go with who they trust. And you're seeing that in the Bulls organization probably more than any other NBA franchise. And, maybe it works. Maybe they land this number one pick and get Zion Williamson, or even a second pick and get Ja Morant, and maybe it doesn't matter because talent trumps all. But, it definitely looks like they could use some new voices, some new blood, and new direction.
I am so glad you said that. It is an insularity. It is the incestuous nature of the way they have just had this sort of sclerotic group of people in these darkened hallways together. And I said the same thing in the last segment. Why not get some oxygen, some sunlight, some best practices, throw the doors open, take a Theo Epstein approach where he said, we don't know anything. What can we learn? What can we find out? Bring some people through. I used to rip on the Bears for the same things. The Bears had these same hallways like this, like a convent. And then eventually everything got opened up a little bit and they picked up the phone. They talked to people. They didn't assume that everybody in that room always knew what was best. And that's why it's like they're playing in a different league sometimes, Darnell.
Yeah, and the thing is, everybody around here wants to fire guard packs. And, that's the buzz phrase. But I don't even think that people need to be fired necessarily. I think you can just reassign people. And there was a great question I think Joe Cowley asked yesterday at the press conference. Why not just reassign Gar Foreman? If he's unfit to be the general manager, if he's a really good scout, then just let him be a really good scout, if that's the case. I think the same could apply with a lot of people in the management positions over at the Bulls organization. Bring in some people who, like you said, are new blood, maybe have a different vision on things and a different skill set. People who have managed before, I mean, that's a big problem in the Bulls organization. You got a lot of people running things who have never really managed people before. And I think that trickles down in terms of the culture and forming what you see on the outside looking in of the organization.
Seems as though Jim Boylan's relationship with Zach LaVine did improve from day one to yesterday. I could only improve, perhaps, but is it meaningful enough? Did it improve enough from your perspective for a player like that and a head coach like that to get together and work together?
I think it improved enough for them to close out the season on a good note and move past some of the embarrassment that happened early in the season. Now, the Bulls still aren't a winning team, and that is what ultimately is going to matter and affect that relationship. If they come back next season and they get off to a good start and things look like they're going in the right direction, I could see that relationship blossoming. Both guys, I mean, they want the same thing. Jim Boylan's a competitor, and he wants to win. Zach LaVine is a big competitor, and he wants to win. And he wants to, you know, look good while doing it individually, of course, like every other player. And I think that there's the confusion there is how they do that. I mean, I talked to Chris Dunn. I'm going to write something on Athletic. Chris Dunn really kind of threw Jim Boylan under the bus on the day before the end of the regular season, talking about his multi-ball handler system and how it just doesn't fit him. So while we're all wondering what's going on with Chris Dunn is basically saying the new coach came in and put me in a system where I didn't really feel like I could thrive. I think Zach LaVine feels like that at times, too. As much as Zach has the ball in his hands, we even heard, John Paxson told us that they don't want the ball in Zach's hands as much. They want him to be more like a Klay Thompson guy. He's filling the lanes and finishing plays in transition, coming off screens and serving as a catch-and-shoot type guy. So I think they've got different plans for these players, and the players may see the plan for themselves. And I think that's where the big tension comes in when it comes to the relationship between Boylan and the players.
Well, my read on the thing with LaVine is he was smart enough to realize that he didn't want to develop the reputation as a pouter or at this stage of his career as you know, coach killer, somebody difficult to get along with. I think it seems like most of these guys are nice guys and professionals. We know it about Markkanen. We know it about Porter. And they've put together a team of guys who are able to say, look, it's just not worth it. I think Zach LaVine realized it wasn't worth it to have a public feud with his coach at this stage of his career. And it was and whoever talked to him said, look, you know, just do what's being asked of you. The problem I have is it's another one of these teams, Darnell. It's another John Paxson envisioned Bulls team of nice, coachable, professional young men, the beloved core, this whole thing, and they're going to outwork people. How many times do we have to see this, and why can't you do something else?
I got a suggestion. I think it's time that we all just maybe tweak our expectations a little bit, you know, because it's always championship or bust with sports fans, with media, and I get that. I get that to a degree, and I subscribe to that. But I just don't know that the Bulls are subscribing to it. And if that's not what they're about, then we should change our expectations. If they want a 50-win team that, you know, makes it to the playoffs and maybe even makes a second round or a conference final every other year or, you know, every so often, and they're happy with that, then that's the expectation. If they're not about trying to build a championship-caliber team, then we can't hold them to that level of expectation. And I just don't know if that's where they are right now.
Regardless of expectation, though, theirs or otherwise, I mean, a question has to be asked about whether or not Jim Boylan's philosophies and schematics and just basic X's and O's, whether those have been filtered through John Paxson or Doug Collins, or whether they've been adjusted by them, or whether or not there's tension in what he prefers to do on the court versus what the front office would kind of prefer or these players would prefer to do, yeah?
Yeah, I do think that, I mean, and that question sort of was asked the other day, not if his strategies and philosophies are filtered through the front office and Doug Collins, things like that, but, you know, what are his philosophies and how does the front office feel about what he's bringing as a head coach philosophically and strategically on the court? And that is a big question mark continuing to go into next season. But, and I'm trying to look at both sides. If I'm Jim Boylan, I say most of my players missed the second half of the season. I'm going out there with Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono. So it doesn't matter what schemes he uses, it's not going to work when you're that overmatched. So I think he does need a shot to come in next season and see, you know, what he can do from the start of next season and see if he can get this thing off the ground. Now, if he doesn't, and they've extended them, they've put themselves in a corner, which is why the extension at this time, even though you don't want a lame duck coach, it just doesn't make a lot of sense bringing him back to a long-term deal.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about recalibrating our expectations, but they've got the trophies in that building. They point to the trophies in that building. And they say one thing, but you're telling me that I don't know what I'm doing. If the goal of this thing, if they're not trying to chart a path back to absolute top of the league relevancy, I understand they make a lot of money. I understand they're an incredibly well run business and they put out a great nightly entertainment product. But if that's what you're trying to do, just somebody's got to be straight with me and just be honest with me about that.
Well, I'll say two things. One, you point to those six trophies because it's a marketing tool and it gets people from all over the world coming here to see a piece of history. And so you can't fault them for that, but that doesn't mean that they're still aligned with that vision and trying to get that. But the second thing is you can only get there by taking steps. You can't go from 22 wins to 62 wins. I mean, you've got to at some point become a relevant team again, like John Paxson said yesterday, but a competitive team again. And in order to become a championship, you must first become a competitive team. And, you know, they're taking the steps. They've got pieces in place. We all know about the core guys right now and you know, who looks promising and who doesn't at this point. And they're off to a solid start from a roster construction standpoint. But how you take that next step is then where the biggest question comes in. And the answer is maybe they don't, you know, maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't want to, or maybe they're just not ready. But they do feel like they're taking the first step to become a competitive team.
One name that's been thrown around quite a bit in the last 24 has been Patrick Beverley. Does that make as much sense as everyone seems to think it does?
I think so. You know, he gets you to, you know, 40-some-odd wins. He doesn't help you get to 50 or 60 wins. He doesn't help you, you know, not this team at least, compete for a championship. But he makes you competitive, and that's the biggest thing. These guys, you know, we were looking at some numbers the other day. 6-23 at home under Jim Boylan. They lost by 11.1 points per game at home. You know, so this team is a long way away from being just even competitive every night. And that's what they need to start with. And Patrick Beverley does that for you.
But what does Jim Boylan do well? What is a single aspect of the job of NBA head coach that he is better at than anybody else?
I don't know. When you put it that way, I mean, I can't say that he's better at one thing than every other, you know, the 29 other head coaches. But he does some very good things that I think this team could benefit from, and that's focusing on fundamentals, improving and drilling basics, and making sure these young guys have a foundation from which to work and really develop and blossom into the players that they can be. He's a really good communicator. You know, he comes off as a taskmaster, but I don't really think he is that. I think he is more of a, I don't want to say player's coach because he's not that, I don't think, but because he's so demanding. But he'll wrap his arm around guys and pat them on the butt, tell them he loves them. And, you know, he goes over the top in terms of that type of stuff. But he really does genuinely care about these guys and wants to see them grow and get better. And I think when you have someone who shows players that are this young at this stage of their careers that he really is all about them, then I think players buy in. Have they bought in? I think a lot of them have, and they believe that his level or his style of coaching can help them. And we saw some good stretches last season. It wasn't a total failure, but overall it was. But we did see some good stretches out of some young players, and we did see some development. So I think you do have to give Jim Boylan a little bit of credit in that regard.
All right, if I'm Patrick Beverley, make the pitch to me. Why do I want to come to the Bulls?
Opportunity. You know, they want to improve the starting point guard position. They said that Chris Dunn hasn't proven himself as the starting point guard for this franchise going forward. So there's a starting role out there in his hometown. You know, he can get major minutes. They've got $20 million of cap space, and money always talks for these guys and for all of us, really. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why Patrick Beverley could come on and see that he could be building something special in his hometown. So is he interested in that? I don't know. I don't know Pat, but there are reasons to believe he might want to be here. A guy like him might want to be here.
But he's 30. You know, this guy's in July is going to be 31. You know, if he starts thinking about what he wants out of his career, it's not like he's 24. You know, this is a time where some guys are thinking about championships and legacy and competing for things too, right?
Yeah, but if the Bulls come to him and offer him $2, $3 million more than sure. the next highest offering team, you know, that may be an offer he can't refuse. And at the same time, you also got to realize that these guys don't look at themselves as going to someone somewhere or someone's team and the team still being bad. They have confidence in themselves. If Pat Beverly decides he's going to come to Chicago, he's going to have confidence that he can help turn this thing around, and they're no longer going to be a 22-win team. So, you know, it's a good question, and it is going to be interesting to see which one of these free agents they target. It's not great out there after the marquee guys, which we know they're not going to get. So I'm really curious to see how they're going to spend this money, because they made it sound like they're definitely spending it. You just hope it's not on another Jabari Parker.
One of the other things I was kind of surprised by in that press conference was John Paxson's pointed challenge to Lauri Markkanen about getting better in this offseason, getting better next year. Was that an opportunity he could take because Lauri Markkanen can hear that and respond to it? Or is that an actual challenge given, like you say, free agency doesn't have, you know, top-tier guys that the Bulls are going to be into? It certainly has top-tier players, but the Bulls won't be there, and that their draft pick could be 5.
Yeah, I missed the question. I'm sorry.
As Paxson challenged Lauri Markkanen to get better and better, like it was very pointed, and I found it interesting that he took the opportunity to be as direct about Markkanen's need to improve as he was, considering he was as good as he was this year.
Yeah, it was a challenge, and it rubbed some of us the wrong way a little bit because he did kind of call him out. But I mean, that's what you want. I mean, we talk about accountability all the time, and I just think just because the reputation of John Paxson and Gar Forman is so bad right now that anything they do just kind of comes off as negative or something that we could criticize. But he's right. Lauri Markkanen has a long way to go. He's not the player that he is capable of being just yet. And all of these guys need to develop. What I didn't like is that we heard so much put on the players and so little put on the coaching staff and the front office. Does Lauri Markkanen need to improve? Yeah, John Paxson didn't say anything that was inaccurate yesterday about Markkanen. But I'd also like to hear some other stuff and some accountability with the front office and the coaching staff.
Darnell, always great stuff. We really appreciate your insight. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.